poverty doesn't mean lack of money. Poverty is a spirit. Deliverance from Satan's Eden. Satan has not created any Eden. Eden was created by God. And once God has your heart, God doesn't fear to release anything to you. The only reason why sometimes God withholds things from his children is because of their hearts. Money itself, money, cash itself, has become a god in Satan's Eden. When man fell, Satan stepped in and enticed man to build. To build a city for himself. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that once more you have brought us together, O God, to listen to you, even as your word of righteousness is coming with great power and might. We pray that you help us to receive your word. Help us to make room for your word. Let your word transform us. Let your word take us to another level in you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God. You may be seated. I want to welcome everybody to church this morning. Amen. Last week, we started a series on what I call the gold head or the God head. And this series is supposed to address the money controversy in the church. Money controversy in the church. And by the time we finish going through this series, you will understand exactly what place money holds in the things of God. Then you also know how to become a good steward of the money that God puts in your hand. Then why God wants to bless and prosper his people. How God blesses and prospers his people. Very important. Last week we started it, and last week I just touched on the role of Mammon, his assignment. And we all saw that Mammon is not money. Mammon is not money, but he is a god. He is a spirit. In fact, he is a ruler of the darkness of this age. In Satan's hierarchy, Mammon occupies the third plane from Satan. You have certain, spirits called spiritual wickedness in high places. Then after them, you will have the rulers of the darkness of this age. Then you come down a little, one step further, then you have the powers. Then you come down, then you have principalities before you come to demons. So Mammon belongs to the second level, the rulers of the darkness of this age. When you look at Ephesians 6, the Bible tells us we wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual wickedness in high places. It was in ascending order. So principalities are the lowest, then powers are higher than principalities, and rulers of the darkness of this age, they are higher than powers. Then the spiritual wickedness in high places, in heavenly places, they are the highest. From there, you go to Satan himself. And Mammon belongs to the rulers of the darkness of this age. He is a god. He is a spirit. And his assignment is to hijack riches and make it available to those who will bow to him. Those who will compromise and bow to the ways of the devil, he will make it available to them. And also attack the finances of those who want to stand for God. So that God's building, God's kingdom will come to a standstill. Because he will make sure that people are not available for God's building. And then he will rather enslave them to build or to contribute to the empire that he's building for the devil. Then also we realize that he produces the spirit of poverty. And we understood that poverty doesn't mean lack of money. Poverty is a spirit. And somebody can have millions of dollars and still be suffering from poverty, the spirit of poverty. And actually, we said that the spirit of poverty is the spirit of discontentment. That no matter the amount of money you get, you are never satisfied. It's something that has got to do with the heart, the soul. Not really with money, physical money or with cash, but with the heart. And that is all under the operations of Mammon. Today, I want to continue the series by talking about deliverance from Satan's Eden. Deliverance from Satan's Eden. And the Eden is an inverted commas. E-D-E-N, Eden, is an inverted commas, which means that I'm borrowing that word for it to stand for something. Satan has not created any Eden. Eden was created by God, but Satan has also created a counterfeit Eden. And that is the empire that Mammon rules over. And we are going to look at how we can be delivered from Satan's Eden. Now, in the Bible, in the beginning, God created man, and God placed everything on this earth in the hands of man. Everything. All the natural resources, material, everything. God gave all to man, and Adam was controlling the whole earth. But there was no problem between God and Adam because God had his heart. And the heart of man was for God. And once God has your heart, God doesn't fear to release anything to you. The only reason why sometimes God withholds things from his children is because of their heart. He wants to own their hearts. If God gets your heart, God doesn't mind releasing millions of dollars to you. If only he has your heart. When Mammon gets your heart, then God gets a problem releasing wealth to his people. For as long as their heart is in the hands of Mammon, he will not release wealth. Because they cannot be faithful stewards. They will take what God has given them and they will use it to serve Mammon. Because the only person who competes for the heart of man with God is Mammon. He said you can't serve God and Mammon. He said nobody can serve two masters. You will either be loyal to one and despise the other. And you cannot serve God and Mammon. That's why if you're a believer, Bible says when the world is going this way, you must go this way. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world or the course of this world, but be ye transformed. Which means that you are supposed to live in an opposite way to the direction of the world. If you can be in the kingdom. Then the next one is money. He said, you see, every precious stone was your covering. So in Satan's Eden, precious stones have been hijacked. And precious stones have become status symbols. Gold. That's why wherever there is gold, you will see a lot of occultic activity. Demonic activity. Why? Because those are the things that Satan has made God. So cash itself, has become a god in Satan's Eden. But God wants his people to be free from Mammon and to be free from any entanglement of Satan's Eden. When man fell, Satan stepped in and enticed man to build a city for himself. The first building was done by Cain in Genesis 4:16. Bible says Cain went outside the presence of God and he built a city and named the city after his son, Enoch. So the first person to build was Cain, and he built outside the presence of God. He built outside the presence of God. In Genesis 4:16, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. So that was when man started building, and he built a city. Why did he build a city? He was looking for certain things. Man was looking for shelter. Man was looking for clothing. Man was looking for food. Man was looking for pleasure. Man was looking for security and significance. So you realize that Cain's descendants, they were people who invented many things. They are the ones who invented all these things in the world. They came from Cain. When you continue to verse 18. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mehujael. Mehujael begot Methusael, and Methusael begot Lamech. These are Cain's descendants. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. You see, Cain's descendants were the first to marry more than one. That Cain's son, his great grandson Lamech, was the first person who married more than one. Who practiced polygamy. It was Cain. It was never so in the Garden of Eden. It was introduced through Cain's line. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the second was Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. So that Jabal began to make tents. What was he doing? He was looking for shelter. Shelter. You see, man was now looking for shelter. So Cain's descendants, they were the first to make tents and have livestock. What's livestock? For food. For food. Now they were looking for things to feed themselves. Then what else? His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who played the harp and flute. What was that? Music. Entertainment. You see, that man is now seeking after entertainment. Pleasure. Why? Because in the Garden of Eden, man had pleasure, but the pleasure was from God. Now he has lost fellowship with God, and Satan is giving him counterfeit pleasure, something to substitute what he lost from God. The same way Satan, tried to make fig leaves. In the same way, all these things were fig leaves. Then, verse 22. As for Zillah, he bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. Now, man began to build weapons of war. Weapons. Why did he need weapons? Because of security. Man was now looking for security. All these things were done after man fell. And these are the things that in Satan's Eden, they are status symbols, they are aspirations, they became yardstick for success, measure of significance in Satan's Eden. So in Satan's Eden, all these things, if you have them, they determine your worth. When they're down there, they'll say that, oh, this man is worth so and so millions of dollars. How do you assess human worth? They assess it by these things that make Satan's Eden. Their assets, their money, all these things. But all these things are fig leaves. That is why God will have you know that your worth doesn't come from these things. If you are in the kingdom, it's different. In the kingdom, your worth doesn't come from these things. Your status doesn't come from these things. Your significance doesn't come from these things. But in Satan's Eden, these are high things. People can easily kill you for one of these things. You can easily lose your life if you stand in the way of fallen man. In the way of man, if you prevent him from accessing this thing, he can easily kill you. And he will not have any feeling for you. Now, that's how Mammon came to rule. Mammon presides over Satan's Eden. And all these things, they are things that Mammon rules over. And Mammon uses to enslave people. He hijacks them. He hoards them. And he uses them to enslave people. Why? Because for as long as things have a grip on people's heart, God will not have a grip on their heart. And they will not be available for God, but he will use them to build his empire. Unfortunately, in the church today, Mammon has found his way and he maintains such a very firm grip on the church. That is why before the wealth transfer, we'll be talking about transfer of wealth. Before it happens, God must prune the church. He must prune the church and shake his church so that our faith will be removed from things and our faith will be put in God. Then God will release unprecedented wealth to the church. The kind of wealth that is coming, that is why God wants you to hear this. Anybody who has a blessing on his head that God has said, I will bless you, know that the blessing will come only when God has finished dealing with you till Mammon has lost his grip on your heart. Otherwise, the blessing will never come. Because God will never give you that which you will use to promote Mammon, not him. Hallelujah. So in the world now, there are only two gods who compete for our heart. God Almighty and Mammon. These are the two gods. God Almighty and Mammon. He didn't say you cannot serve two masters, God and Satan. No. He said you can't serve two masters, God and Mammon. Why did he mention Mammon? Because Mammon is a god. And Jesus knew him. He knew that this guy, he is the one who presides over Satan's Eden. He is a president of Satan's Eden. He's a ruler of the darkness of this age, Mammon. And he seeks to replace what man lost. He replaces it with fig leaves. And remember the fig leaves Adam used to cover himself. The fig leaves themselves didn't have life. Because the fig leaves had been detached from the tree. When you detach a leaf from the tree, the leaf will die. Because anything that's separated from its source must die. So Adam covered himself with death. All these things are fig leaves. They have no life. And yet man is prepared to lose his life for them. Man will struggle and fight and war and bite and kill for things that don't have life. Man will lie and cheat for things that don't have life. So what God will do is that God will deliver his people from things so that things will follow them as they follow God. Because the blessings of God, they come. We don't go to them. They come to us. So that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. They come. These blessings will follow you, pursue you, and overtake you. There's nowhere in the Bible that says the believer must follow things. No. The believer's heart must be for God, and God will cause things to follow the believer. But today, we have turned it the other way around, and we are chasing things. He said, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things. He said, these things are the things the Gentiles seek, but you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. But now, we are seeking the things and neglecting the kingdom. That is why God cannot bless the church as he wants to bless us. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you this. You see, alcohol, for instance, alcohol came after the fall. The palm tree was created by God. There was no fermentation in Eden. Because Eden was a perfect environment. There was no fermentation. Fermentation came after man fell. And alcohol came after man fell to produce the same effect man had when he's fellowshipping with God. Joy. So when man gets drunk, what man is trying to say that man is craving for that thing that he had with God, which he has lost.
But he's using counterfeit materials, and he's using the wrong means to get it. That is our whole problem as men, as human beings. We are replacing, substituting the real things for the counterfeit things. Satan's Eden comprises three cities in the Bible: Sodom, Babel, and Egypt. Now, these are three cities that describe how Satan's Eden is, and the lifestyle of people who are living in Satan's Eden: Sodom, Babel, and Egypt. And all these three cities, God delivered his people from them. In Sodom, Bible said that the angels went and took Lot out of Sodom. When he was delaying, they took hold of his hand and they literally pushed him out of the city. Why? Because God doesn't want his children to live in Sodom. In Babel, in Revelation, the angel said, come out of Babylon, come out of her, lest you be destroyed together with her. He said, come out of her. God was telling people to come out of Babel. And Egypt too, God had to take them out of Egypt before he could take them to the promised land. Why? You can't serve God and live the kingdom life if you are in Sodom, if you are in Babel, if you are in Egypt. Sodom stands for fleshly living, sinful living. That is Sodom. It's all part of Satan's Eden. Satan promotes sinful living. So Christians who think that they can be Christians and live anyhow, they find themselves in Sodom. And in Sodom, you cannot build for God. You can't build for God. If you want to build for God, you must leave Sodom. Lot went to Sodom and he settled down and he built a house. That is why the wife couldn't leave. We don't build in Sodom. We don't live in Sodom. We leave Sodom. As Christians, we don't live in Sodom. If you find yourself in Sodom, you must leave it. And because Sodom is part of Satan's Eden. Then Babel. Babel or Babylon is also part of Satan's Eden. And Babel stands for idol worship. Babel stands for humanism. Babel stands for self-centered living. It stands for me, myself, and I. The blessed trinity of selfishness. Me, myself, and I. That is what Babel stands for. He said, let us build a city and then build a tower whose top reaches into the heavens, and build a city for ourselves and make a name for ourselves. That is the principle that sustains Babel. Make a name for yourself. It is what is governing the world now. Make a name for yourself. Unfortunately, it has crept into the church. Make a name for yourself. Hype yourself. Promote yourself. Project yourself. When God has not promoted you and you promote yourself, you are living in Babel. Then the last city is Egypt. Egypt is building the empire of Pharaoh at the expense of God's empire. And that is where I'm going to dwell, because Mammon encompasses these three cities. Sometimes we think we have escaped Sodom and escaped Babel, but we live in Egypt. And Egypt is also not a place for the people of God to live. So God said, let my people go. But Bible says, Pharaoh will hardly let them go. Pharaoh tried to keep them in Egypt. Why? He was using them as slaves to build his empire. That's a picture of Mammon. Mammon wants the believer to slave to build the world, but never the kingdom. He will want the believer to slave and build the world, but he will never allow the believer to build the kingdom. He said, the God of the Hebrews has appeared to us, that was Moses, Pharaoh, let my people go into the wilderness, that they may sacrifice and make a feast unto my name. Bible says, but Pharaoh would hardly let them go. He used many things like compromises. He used many things like excuses. He used threats, you know, threats and all those things just to keep them bound to Sodom. To keep them bound, I mean, to Egypt. But while they were in Egypt, they were slaving for Pharaoh. And he was using them to build cities. Phicom and Ramses. Come to Exodus 1:11. Exodus 1:11. This is what Mammon is doing to the believer. Very subtle, and we don't know. You have believers who are giving all their contribution towards building the empires of this world. They are building the educational empire. They are building the political empire. They are building the commercial empire. They are building the religious empire. They are building the governmental empire. They are building the empires of this world, but they are not building the kingdom. Their heart is not in the kingdom. They are living in Egypt. Exodus 1:11. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. They built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. So Pharaoh, Mammon, who is a picture of Pharaoh, will enslave the believer for the believer to build treasure cities for him. That's why you have Christians who will labor and labor in their secular work. They will never labor in the kingdom. That's why we have Christians who can get up very early in the morning for the sake of secular work. They can never do that for the kingdom. We have Christians who spend their time, their heads in their work, no time for God. They receive money. They are always pursuing money, chasing money, no time for God. That's why when God blesses you and gives you a job, you start getting excuses why you can't do God's work. Because it's the work of Mammon. When God blesses you and God promotes you, then you get excuse why you cannot be available for God. That is Mammon's desire for you to be enslaved so that you can build cities. Because Mammon took advantage of the curse God placed on man, where God said, you will only eat after you sweat. The Mammon said, okay, then I will let you sweat and build me a city, and then I can release money to you. That system. The world system operates just like that. People are slaving themselves. When you go to places like UK and US, you and other nations, you will see people who are working like donkeys. No time for God. Even on Sundays, they are working. Why? Because, and you see, they will pay you higher on Sunday. I mean, they will pay you a higher wage, bigger wage on Sunday than other days, so that you can leave Sunday and go and work. That is Mammon. Mammon is responsible for the world system. Satan's eating. And then you work and work and pay bills and work, and you are always chasing money. That's why the credit system in the Western world is right from the pit of hell. What they do is that for as long as you have a credit card, you can keep buying things, you know, on credit until you are totally engrossed in debt. So you have to always work and work to pay off the debt. So you are working and working and working and slaving and slaving and no time for God. That is Mammon. That is living in Egypt. He will set taskmasters over you. And the taskmasters will afflict you to slave for him. What are the taskmasters? The taskmasters are the pillars of Eden. Beauty, fashion, wealth, pleasure, entertainment. These are the taskmasters that Pharaoh has set over people, including believers. Now you find believers who can't even go to church if they don't have new, they're not changing their clothes every Sunday. Fashion is their God. Why are believers captivated by fashion of the world? They are always craving for the latest things. And we call it prosperity. We understand prosperity. Prosperity doesn't go with greed. For as long as there's greed and covetousness, you are not prosperous. I will show you in this series what prosperity is. I'm telling you, the amount of wealth that God wants to release to the church, we have never seen it before. What God is about to release to the church, the money that is coming to the church, we have never seen it in our 2,000 years of existence. We have never seen it before. The world is really going to see that God is with the church. But God is going to shake the church for our hearts to be removed from things and our hearts to be fixed on God. Then God can release that unprecedented wealth. The reason why I brought this series is because the Lord told me that what he has promised to release to us, it won't come to pass. The money he has been prophesying, the wealth, it will not come to pass until we have this understanding. So some of you may not need this message now, but it is inoculation against a time to come. When your heart is right, when the time comes and God releases the money will not have you. You will use money will not use you. When I talk about nature of money, you will see that money has three characters. It's either a toy, a tool, or a trap. Money can either be a toy, a tool, or a trap. And unfortunately, we believers now, we use money as toys and traps. So Paul said, those who desire to be rich, they fall into many foolish lusts, and they pierce their souls with many hurts. Those who desire to be rich, why? Because they see the money as a toy. And because they see it as toys to play with, they see material blessings as toys. Toys to display and to play with. And they become traps. And they take our hearts from God. And God begins to compete with material things for our hearts. Sometimes it takes God sending the believer to the wilderness to learn these things. Hallelujah. When God was taking them from Egypt, God had to train them to remove mammon from their heart. Because he was taking them to the promised land, and the promised land had blessings. I mean, it had blessings, but he took them through the wilderness to get the grip of mammon broken over their hearts. The reason for the wilderness experience is to deliver you from mammon so that God can now release the wealth. Because if God doesn't deliver you from mammon and he gives you the wealth, you will fight God. You will find yourself fighting God without knowing. So God says, I will deliver them to the wilderness so that mammon can lose his grip. And once mammon's grip is broken, then God will release the wealth. For as long as mammon has a grip on the church can never experience prosperity. The church will step into prosperity when mammon loses his grip on the church. When we are not chasing things, we are chasing God. When our mind is on the kingdom, not on material things, then God will also bless us. I'm telling you, I saw something this morning. It amazed me. The early church, they never talked about how to get money, and yet there was no poor person among them. This church, today's church, we are always talking about money, how to make money, how to create wealth, and yet we still have people who are poor among us. The difference is that the early church, mammon's power was broken over their lives. He said that they did not hold anything they had as their own, as their possession, but they released. So because of that, there was no poverty. God will help us. So you know what God did? God took them out of Egypt with great wealth, because he gave them favor and they borrowed articles of silver and gold from the Egyptians. That was exceptional favor. Somebody who has lost his firstborn because of you, and you are leaving Egypt, then you go and say, can I get your golden ring? Can I get your gold and silver? And then they took it off themselves and gave it to the Israelites. So Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. They plundered Egypt. It was God who did that. God intentionally gave them favor to the extent that they plundered Egypt and took all of Egypt's wealth. But do you know what God was doing? God was training them for them to be delivered from the grip of Mammon. So right from Egypt, he took them to the wilderness where they had all this gold, all this silver, but nowhere to spend them. No shopping mall to go and buy things. But they had gold and silver and they have all these things, but nowhere to go, nowhere to go and use the money. That was God's training. That was how God delivered them from the grip of Mammon. And in Deuteronomy 8, he said, I suffered you to on the silver coins you have, so that they will know that they'll be delivered from. You see, God doesn't want us to be limited and defined by what is in our pockets. When God is training you, and you see, like I've been talking about the Joseph Company that is coming to the church. These guys are going to be guys, people who are loaded. I mean, loaded. When we'll talk about wealth, they are going to carry wealth. But money will never be their God. And the Lord told me that the Josephs, they are going to be people who manage grains and interpret dreams. They will handle spiritual stuff and they will handle money. And money will not overcome them. And he said that these people are going to be trained. God is going to train them not to depend on money. Not to make Mammon their God. So that they can defeat Mammon. That is what God is doing. When God took them to the wilderness, then they got to the promised land. Then they could now inherit the promised land. Why? Because Mammon had lost his grip on them. In the wilderness, they went hungry. And God wanted to show them that the reason why I asked you to collect these articles of gold and silver was for the purpose of my building. Come to Deuteronomy, Exodus. Exodus 25. Exodus 25. when God was telling them the reason why he asked them to borrow all these things. Verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them. Gold. Gold is the first one. Gold, silver, and bronze. So the gold that God gave them in Egypt, he took them to the wilderness where they couldn't spend the gold. And he told them, I gave you the gold so that you can release the gold for my building in the wilderness. Some of them didn't know the purpose. So they used the gold to mold a calf. And they began to worship the calf. That was how Mammon crept into the church in the wilderness. They fashioned a calf out of the gold and were worshiping it. You see, money will always demand your worship. He will, because he is the only one who competes with God. He will always demand your worship. You have to bow down to Mammon. I mean, he will make you bow down to him before you bring your hand to your mouth. If you want to live for God, you must be prepared to be put into the fiery furnace. You must prepare to be put into the fiery furnace because you have refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. If you decide not to compromise, sometimes your life, you will go through difficulties. But that is how God trains his people to handle wealth. He will train you so that money will lose its appeal to you. Because for as long as money has a grip on your heart, you will compromise because of money. And God cannot entrust great wealth into your hand. Because it says, if you have not been faithful with the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So he said, bring me an offering, gold, silver, bronze, all these things you collected, and I gave you favor so that you will get them in abundance. Bring them to me as an offering. And build me a tabernacle that I may live among my people. Some of them didn't see the purpose and they worshiped money. They worshiped the golden calf. That is why Moses was angry and he threw the commandments. He broke the Ten Commandments. Moses broke it before even the people. I mean, the people broke the first commandment before Moses even came down. The first commandment, you shall have no other God before me. Before Moses came, that he had broken it. And guess who enticed them to break it? Mammon. He will always compete with God for your heart. Come to Matthew 6:24 and look at what Jesus said concerning Mammon. You see, people sometimes have a wrong impression that Jesus hated money. He didn't hate money. No. How could he have hated money? He was not against prosperity. No. No. Never. But he was against Mammon. Let me tell you, when I talk about the blessing of the Lord, you understand. If God wants to bless you, I'm telling you. I mean, God gives lavishly. When we say lavish, lavishly. Rich. When we were in secondary school, we had two kinds of soakings. We had rupi, and then we had rich. I mean rich, the rich, you can empty the whole tin of milk, use small garris and then sugar, then you don't use water, the milk becomes the water. That is rich. God can give you rich. I mean, he Bible says he gives lavishly, and he doesn't upbraid. Which means that when he gives you, he can give you without asking you any questions. But before that, he will check your heart. If I give him this, is he still going to love me? Or he's going to now set me aside? Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. When you serve mammon and you spend your time and your life for mammon, it produces anxiety. It produces stress. It produces worry. It produces fear. You think you must add up and add up and add up and hoard. So when you are serving mammon, you are thinking of adding up, hoarding. So when we say release, release, it goes against your thinking. Because you are thinking of saving money, piling up money, hoarding money, so that I can get more and more. If I top up and I save and I hoard, I get more. But God, when God is training you, God do debunk that thinking. He will say, if you give and you give, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When God is training you, God will bring you to a point where you will literally feel like you are dying, because he will shake the world and he will shake your foundation. Till you get to a point where you see that your life is not built on your needs. Your life is not built on mammon, on money. The same thing was wrong with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus' problem was, he was not a good steward of God's resources. He thought he had to add up and add up and add up because he was short. So, in adding up and adding up, he was cheating people and hoarding money. And Jesus Christ went and said, Zacchaeus, calm down. I'll be in your house today. He came down. Jesus went there. They ate. Then Zacchaeus got up and said, of all the goods I have, I divide it to four, and I give one fourth to the poor. Half to the poor. And if I've cheated somebody, I restore fourfold. Jesus said, now salvation has come to this house. He never mentioned salvation till Zacchaeus said, I give my goods to the poor. Because that was when he had become a kingdom citizen, a descendant of Abraham. Because how you deal with money determines your character. A man's character will be seen in his attitude towards money. You can size up somebody by his relationship with money. And that is the test that God gives us. God sizes us up. You see, your love for God, I will prove to you, your love for God can be measured in what you can release to his house. That is why he will come to you and tell you, give this. And you think when God says give, he's taking away from you. No, he's breaking mammon's power over your life. He will come and tell you, give this amount. And you are thinking about all the things that you must do. All the things. Everybody faces that. These days I have learned that when God says give, just give. When God says give, don't think, just give. Recently, I was led to give everything, and it wasn't much. What I had, it wasn't much, but I was led to give everything. Just recently, just about some few weeks. Everything. And when the instruction came, I immediately began to think about the things I must do. And the things that are ahead of me, the things I must pay, and the things I must, and I just closed my mind and gave everything. God was setting me up for something greater. God trained me to break mammon's grip over my life. You see, I always used to think that, I didn't have problem with money. That I didn't have problem, I didn't love money. Till God took away something from me. I realized that when my money is decreasing, I'll be shaking. When my money is reducing, I'll become anxious. And I'll be thinking about where. And God took me through a process till I got to a point where if I had no money in my pocket, I wouldn't mind. It was a process. And God was preparing me for something great He has said over my life. That the kind of world is going to give me, He said it several times, and I was just receiving, I receive. The next thing, He touched my pocket. Zero. I'm talking about zero. Everything, zero. I can, you see, for about 3 years now, I'm never on any monthly salary. 2 years. 2 years now. Never. No pay. Not that I'm not working. God orchestrated things to the extent that nothing is coming to my pocket. So, month ending, I didn't know where something was going to come from. And I was crying to God. Why are you doing this? Why are things like that? By the devil. Because I pay tithe. I pay tithe. I'm telling you, I pay more than tithe. Give offering. Release money to people and all that. Release money to the work of God. But why am I going through that? When I checked all these things and I was not defaulting, I said, then God wants to get a hold of my heart. It means mammon was holding my heart. Because if my money was reducing, I was becoming anxious. So these days, when God says give, I just release. I just release. Sometimes you will get it. If the thing comes to you, bam. God says give all. I just give all. Close my mind. Whatever will happen should happen. And nothing happens. No bad thing happens. I have seen that sometimes just in the nick of time, God will release something. If I tell you, sometimes it's amazing. My wife will bear me witness. All that I'm saying, my wife will bear me. It's amazing. It's just amazing. When Zacchaeus became a steward, Jesus said, now salvation has come to this house. So salvation hasn't come for as long as mammon has a grip on your heart. When mammon's grip is broken, salvation has come. Why? So because now you can be a steward of God's resources like Adam. Where you become a channel. Where the money will come for you. You see, when God blesses you, and your outlets don't increase, it means you are under mammon's grip. The more God blesses you, your outlets must increase. The number of people that you feed must increase. We don't understand blessing. We think blessing, when God gives money, is for us to hoard the money and pride ourselves with the money. No. When God gives you more money, it means more outlets should be created. more should be released. That is why tithing is a test. Because tithing ensures that when you get more, more is released. Zacchaeus became a steward. God is looking for stewards. If God finds a steward in you, God doesn't mind commandeering the whole world's resource to come to you. Once you become a faithful steward, God can entrust you with riches. He can bless you with anything because you have become a steward. You see, it is those who are kingdom-minded who are stewards. Because in a kingdom, you don't own anything. If you go to Israel right now, there's nobody in Israel who owns a land. They don't own land. That I've bought this land, it's mine. No. They lease it to you. You can never claim ownership to a land in Israel. Even to date. Because they said that the land was given to them by God. In a kingdom, the land, everything belongs to the king. So, when you get land, check the lease. It is just for some number of years. You are holding it in trust for the king. Sometimes 99 years, when the 99 years expires, you have to release the land. It's not yours. But in our world, you can do land title, then it becomes yours. But in Israel, you can't do that. It's always leased. So in a kingdom, you are a steward. You don't hold. You only hold things in trust for God. When God comes and says, I need it, you release it to him. When God sees you, he sees that that's your heart. God will start blessing you. God wouldn't mind releasing resources to you. Because he said, I found my servant. He's a steward. I can release millions to him and I know he will be a faithful steward. The money will not have his heart. For as long as Solomon saw the Lord, God made him prosper. Solomon's problem started when his heart was turned away from God. When his heart was fixed on God, God blessed him. Bible says, and Solomon loved the Lord and offered 1,000 burnt offerings. That same night, God came and said, what do you want? And he said, I want you. I want wisdom. Wisdom is God. God said, because you have asked for wisdom and you have not asked for riches or for fame or for all these things that Babel is seeking for, I will give you wisdom and I will give you money. Because I have your heart now, I will give you money. Because money will not corrupt you. All the things that you experience, sometimes you experience lack. Sometimes God uses that. Sometimes in the midst of lack, God tells you to give. He's using that to shake your world so that your heart will not be dependent on things, so that your heart will be fixed on God. When you are obedient and you go through that process, God will release something to you. God, he will release something to you. We haven't seen anything yet. I'm telling you, this end time, the church is going to be so wealthy, so prosperous. So what we are calling prosperity now, we haven't seen anything yet. I'm talking about the church becoming so prosperous that the world will begin to be afraid of the church. Believers are going to hold the world to ransom because of money. But God will never do that till Mammon's grip is broken over the church. Come to 2 Chronicles. I want to show you something. Quickly. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 26 verse 5. Prosperity in the Bible is always linked to God's house. Prosperity is always linked to God's house. Prosperity is always linked to God's house. Prosperity is always linked to God's house. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5. It says, he sought God talking about King Uzziah. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Why? Because God had his heart. For as long as your heart is fixed on God, God will prosper you. For as long as you order your priorities right and you place God first, God will prosper you. For as long as you set your affection on the house of God, on the kingdom of God, God will prosper you. In the Bible, prosperity is always linked to the building of God's kingdom. Come to 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 11. First Chronicles 22, verse 11. David. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said to you. He said, may you prosper and build the house of God. Prosperity is always connected to God's house. He will prosper you for as long as you are mindful of his house. He said, may you prosper and build. He didn't say, may you prosper and buy more chariots. May you prosper and build houses. He said, may you prosper and build the house of God. Nehemiah 2:20. Prosperity in the Bible is always linked to building God's house. If you will build it, he will prosper. Other than that, he will not. Because Nehemiah 2:20. It says, so I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right when we are in Jerusalem. He said, God will prosper, so we will arise and build. Prosperity is always linked to the building of God's house. The sure test of your love for God is your affection for his kingdom. And it shows in your giving. It's a fact. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3 to 5. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3 to 5. David was telling Solomon to build, and he said this. Verse 3 to 5. Okay, from verse 2. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses. He said, because of my affection for the house, because of my love for the house, I have reserved gold, my own special treasure I have given to the house. That was David. Why wouldn't God bless David? Why wouldn't God say, David, a man after my own heart? Why wouldn't God tell David that I will make you a house? That, you see, the blessing David had was not just ordinary blessing. We have blessing and we have blessing. And I'll talk about blessing in the last topic of this series. I'll talk about the blessing of the Lord. You understand? We can have about four kinds of blessing. We have general blessing, which everybody can have. Have special covenantal blessing.
We have generational blessing. Then we have the ultimate blessing. When Jacob met the angel and the angel touched his thigh, the angel said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." He said, "I won't let you go until you bless me." But I thought he was blessed already. His father had blessed him instead of Esau. He had many sheep, cattle, even the things he sent to Esau, they were a lot. The guy was loaded, but he still said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." You see, there is blessing and there is blessing. There is blessing and there is blessing. The blessing of the Lord, that's the highest. It makes a man rich and has no sorrow. There is blessing and there's blessing. Haggai 1:3-11, God said, "I punch holes in your money bag because you are building your houses and you have left my house in ruins." He said, "Consider your ways, amend your ways. You are building your houses, so you are Egypt. You are building Pharaoh's empire and you have left my house. My house is in shambles and you are building your own houses." He said, "Because of that, I also punch holes in your money bag. So you put in and it goes. You gather and you work and toil and get, then I will blow it away." That was God. He said, "The gold is mine. The silver is mine." He said, "You think that it's not time to build the Lord's house?" He said, "Bring all your goods, build the Lord's house." He said, "My city will yet, through prosperity, will yet be spread abroad. My kingdom." Hallelujah. God's first work in us will always be to deliver us from Mammon. Mammon is God's fiercest competitor. Mammon. It's not Satan. Mammon. He's the one who challenges God more than anybody else. He challenges God. I mean, he's the one who faces God. And when Mammon gets you, God will not come near. But when you are delivered from Mammon, then God will possess you. He must lose his grip on us. Do you know why we tithe? We tithe because God wants to keep us in stewardship. If you are not a tither, it means you are under Mammon's grip. Because every money you get, if you are a steward, there's a portion that you will set aside for God. So tithing is not about, this is the Old Testament, this is the New Testament. No. You see, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant started on Mount Sinai. Abraham was not in the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant was between God and the Israelites. It started in Mount Sinai. On Mount Sinai. Who taught Abraham to tithe? To Melchizedek. He saw that this man is greater than I. And so he said, "I'm a steward of all that God has given me." And he gave him a tenth. So sometimes we have all this argument. It's tithe. Should Christians tithe? It's tithe in the New Testament. As if the New Testament started in Matthew. There are people in Genesis who were walking in the New Testament. They were living by faith. The New Testament is faith. It's not law. Abraham was living by faith. He was living by "Thus says the Lord." That's the spirit of the New Testament. So the New Testament is not Matthew to Revelation. The New Testament is faith walk with God. When your life is dependent on the proceeding word, when there's a relationship and you can hear God. Hallelujah. Let me read this last scripture. Malachi 3. I will talk about tithe when I'm talking about the bank of heaven. I'm going to talk about the bank of heaven. Understanding the bank. There's a bank in heaven. But let me just give you Malachi 3.
verse 8 to 12, and I'll close. Malachi 3, 8 to 12. Let me just explain something. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have he robbed you? In tithe and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. You see, it's always connected to my house. There may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be no room enough to receive. And I will rebuild the devourer for your sake, so that you will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. All nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. He said, bring the tithe to my storehouse, that there may be food in my house. That word food is not just referring to food that we eat. That there may be revelation in my house. That there may be healing in my house. Deliverance in my house. So your tithe goes to where your mouth is. Your tithe. It goes to where your mouth is. You put your tithe where your mouth is. Where you receive revelation. Where you are fed. He said, the more you bring your tithe to the storehouse, there will be healing in the house. So you can always run to the house for healing. You can always run to the house for deliverance. Run for advice. Run for counsel. Run for direction. Run for teaching. That is where your tithe should go. Your tithe must go to the storehouse. And he said, if you do that, he said, try me and I will open them. Because once you are a tither, you are a steward. You are a faithful steward. Tithe is the basic. When God is training you, you know, as a steward, tithing is the first step. It's basic. It's basic. I mean, it determines whether mammon has a grip on your heart or not. It's tithing. When you get money and you can remember, let me set this aside for God. It means we're a steward. It's a short test. Forget about Old Testament, New Testament. It's a short test. Short test. If you are not a tither, you must begin to tithe. I started tithing when I was in secondary school. Sixth form. 94. That was when I started tithing. 94. When they give me money to school, I will just take tithe. Say, when you go to church, put it in the bowl for me. I started tithing when I was a student. So it's not about, I'm not working. You are not working, but you're eating. I mean, something comes into your hand, you must tithe. And it got to a point, I said, no, even the 10%, I think is for the, I mean, it's the basis. So I want to do more than that. And I went a step higher than 10. I will take the 10. If it's 10 CDs, I'll take the 10, then I'll add maybe one CD. Just to beat the 10%. Then it got to a point. I started seeing double. I didn't know what it meant. I will see 2-2. I'll wake up, the time will be 4-4. Look at my work. Even once I was telling the pastors here at the meeting, as I was telling them this, I look at my watch. It was 6:18. God was confirming that. He was confirming what I was saying. So I didn't understand. Then later the Lord began to explain to me that he has given me this Joseph company thing to handle these two things. Then I was so happy. I said, God is going to bless me. I'm going to handle wealth and spiritual power at the same time. I'm going to preach and I'm going to manage grains at the same time. Then one day, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to pay 20%. He said, I want you to pay 20%. Every money you get, 20% come to God. And I started. And the way I'm committed to it, the way my heart is set, if God gives me 1 billion, I must pay 20. It's a personal thing. It's not like it's in the Bible. It's a personal thing with God. There are people who lived by giving 90%. People of old, some of them gave 90 and lived on 10. If I'm giving 20, it's nothing. Somebody gave 90% and he was living just on 10%. That's why I tell people that if you don't pay tithe, you are cursed with a curse. You are not cursed. A believer cannot be cursed. But if you pay, you draw God into your life. Then God told me, God said, now, covenant, bring your company too to me. Let the company too pay tithe. Not only yourself. It was all part of the restructuring that God was taking me through. He said, now, let the company also pay tithe. So you have a business, you must pay tithe on the business. That will bring God into the business. You are entrusting it to God's hand. That I am a steward. My business is also a steward. So God will be personally committed. Some years ago, I visited somebody in his office. And he brought out a letter he had written to God. That was in 2011 or so. In the letter, he had written to God that I make you the CEO of my company. That's what he wrote. He said, God is my CEO. He's my boss. Which means that God is the one who determines where I go, what I do. He wrote everything. I was so impressed. Then recently, God has been blessing him and, you know, taking him places. I mean, blessing him. Wild blessings. I mean, material blessings. Wild. Recently, I called him and I said, do you know why God is blessing you like that? It's because he's the CEO of your company. They said, hey, do you remember? I said, yes. I have never forgotten it. Because when I saw it, I said, I will do the same thing. If you are starting a business, commit your business to God by starting to tithe. And I tell you, God is going to be committed to the business as much as he's committed to you. You think tithing is difficult? You are getting 100 CDs and you can't tithe. And you think, oh, if I get 1 billion, I can tithe. You are lying. If you are not faithful in the little, you will not be faithful in much. Because 1 billion tithe will be 100 million. 100 million can at least buy a plot of land. So you wait. And if your heart has not been given, taken by God, you cannot take 100 million and say, I'm going to pay tithe. You say it can buy land. Then you will start making excuses. Learn to be a steward. Pay your tithe. I'm giving you my own example so that you will know that I'm not saying something just from the Bible. I'm telling you that it's true. When you see that God is releasing some kind of blessing, you must understand. Because it's a covenant. The early church, there was no poor person because he said, those who were owners of lands, they sold their lands and brought the lands. The grip of mammon was broken over their heads. They brought all their money and placed the money at the apostles' feet. I'll talk about the nature of money. Money is apostolic. You can send it. Money is a seed. You can sow it. Money is a weapon, you can use it. But money can be a toy, it can trap you. If you can put money to right uses, I'm telling you, God will bless us. This ministry, we are blessed because a lot of prophecies have come concerning certain members of the ministry and even the ministry as a whole, that God is going to bless us. I mean, bless us. I mean, talking about riches. But not until this thing about stewardship is entrenched in the ministry, forget it. Not until we come to a point where we are free to give. I've seen churches that do not even preach about money. They only talk about planting churches and missions. And yet, God is blessing them. I mean, God is blessing them, and they have more money than people who specialize in talking about money. I'm talking about a church in Ghana here. All they do is teach them to plant churches. Do God's work. Plant church. Missions. Send people out. Missionaries. Send them out. And God is blessing that church. Now, they bought a building in London. £1 million. Cash down. No credit. Cash. £1 million. I sat down. I said, this man doesn't even talk about money, how to invest money and ways of getting money and the stock exchange. Doesn't talk about those things. Talks about let your heart be mindful of God's work, and God is blessing the church. Somebody's talking about money, and he is the one who is getting rich, and the church is not blessed. God wants to deliver the church from the grip of mammon. Because money dictates a lot of things we do in the church. Money dictates many things in the church. Is money. The moment the love of money grips your heart, you will change. Everything will change about you. You let somebody get money, you will see whether he will take instructions again. That is when you will see whether you are humble. Your humility is not when you don't have and you are saying yes sir. No. When you have and you can still say yes sir, that's humility. One day I was telling the person, I said, look, when God blesses us and we have enough money to go wherever we want, I wish to go to consult God and ask God, where do we go? Or are going to say, now we have money, money's not a problem. Let's do this. We have money, we can do this. That is a check of humility. Somebody won lottery, 40 Ghana cedis, those days in the 90s, say 400,000. He came home and he said, call all the children, everybody come and beat me. Beat me, Sam, beat me. I'm rich, beat me, 400,000. Let's be on our feet. God will help us, and God will bless us also. God will bless us. Let's pray that God should help us to become stewards. People who can open our hands when God says open. Let's begin to pray. Kobraha taya labasita. Mandoroboko shibraha talabahasa. Imantoroboko zataha. Ramataya gorogo sikrahata. Mandebreko shutaha dikasa. Kriman talabago zikrahando. Mando kro sikataha. Koriandaraba sikoro shitahata. Ko mahan debrahando sihata. Kibrando shurahatarabahase. Help us, O God, to be good stewards. Help us to be faithful stewards, O God. Deliver us from the grip of mammon. Deliver us from the grip of mammon. Deliver us from Satan's Eden. Deliver us from the grip of things. Oh God, Kibralo Shitrahanta. Mandelebeko si indahata. Rosi andahata. That will come to a point when we will know that the things we have, we hold them in trust for God. And that if God demands them, we can easily let them go. knowing that they're not living our lives, but they're living just our hand, and they are coming back to us having soul, knowing that God is using that to break mammon's power over our lives, that he can release that which is in his hand for us. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Hebre de sutahata. Ramataya de krepehata. Koriantaraba sutalahande. Ripa kasalahanta. Koriantarabahasite. Ho kibrahantalaba kusihete. Ye katorian disco to ho. Makibrahatusiarata. Rikatayandasi. Ko mahandi ikatozi. Ingolo zikahata. Rapataya le krosigitahata. In the name of Jesus, we are praying the second prayer. We are asking God, break the power of mammon over my heart. Release, give me grace. You see, giving is a grace. Paul said, excel in this grace also. Give me grace to be able to release what is in my hand for your work, for your house, for your service. That whatever you demand, give me grace to be able to give. Give me grace to be able to release. Let's pray. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Break the power of mammon over our lives, O God. Help us, God. Give us grace to release from our hands, O God. To give, O God. To release to your house. To release to your kingdom. Give us grace, O God. Set our hearts on you, O God. Set our hearts on you, O God. Oh, yes, Lord. You know, when I celebrated my birthday, I made this covenant with God. I said, for the next 40 years of my life, I will serve no foreign God. I will serve no other treasure. I will serve you. Give me grace not to give my heart to mammon. Give my heart to you. And I sang this song. I said, and I will serve no foreign God, nor any other treasure. For you are my heart's desire. Your spirit without measure. Unto your name I will bring my sacrifice. We are praying this last prayer. We are praying for Ghana. We are praying that God, give our leaders wisdom. Give our president protection. Protect his life. All the good things he has said he will do, grant him the grace to, because these things he says he's going to do, if he does them, everybody's going to benefit. Free SHS and all these things. We are praying that God should grant him grace and strength to do that. Let's pray. Koriandalaba sutalahata. Koriandalabahashi. Imatariandoko si anta. Koriandalaba katalaba. We pray for Ghana, oh God. We pray for Ghana. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the president. Give him wisdom. Give him strength. Preserve him, O God. Protect him, O God. In the name of Jesus. Strengthen his hand, O God. Every good thing that is on his heart, give him grace to do it. Surround him with good people, O God. Remove negative people from around him. In the name of Jesus. Remove negative influences from around him. Open him up to positive influence. In the name of Jesus. Oh, have mercy on him, O God. Give him strength and wisdom. Oh, yes, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We pray, O God, help us. Give us grace to live for you. Give us grace. Enlarge our hearts, O God. Enlarge our hearts. That we will not become possessive. But Father, we will become people who are stewards. That we can easily release when you say we should release. We give you praise. Release that grace on us. That Father, we will always beat mammon. And we will never respond to and bow down to mammon. Help us not to compromise, oh God. Help us not to bow down to mammon, not to bend the rules. For you have said that we can win by righteousness. Help us to stand when others are bowing. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.